Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to Al-Islam-Based Conversations. We want to start by giving you our promise, which is to not waste your time or insult your intellect. You know, it's easy to say, you know, those words. You know, they just come out because I've been saying them for years. But it's another thing to try to uphold or hold yourself to a commitment to not to do those things. You know, that's what we want to try to look at. That's kind of comparison of what we looked at last week, but how our consciousness can be elevated, or it can be some factors in that cause it to go down instead of up. And you know, they talk about something that's uplifting, you know, inspirational, a character builder. You know, those are the things that can get lost on our travel or journey that we call life. And it's so subtle, it's so devilish and deceitful, we can easily miss it and go on acting or behaving or living that life without even being aware that we've been taken out of the real reality. We've been put in, you know, this matrix-like situation or virtual reality. But it has all the signs and of reality, you know, and that's a kind of a subject within this whole itself, you know. When are we in touch with reality and when we're not in touch with reality? I did a little quiz for myself. I not a quiz, but an examination, I guess you could say, or looking to see if possibly I was being tested and I needed to get the situation a little deeper than what it appeared. And it goes like this, that I overslept, and I think that might be a wake-up call. Now, you know, at first hearing it, you know, well, that's kind of cute. But when you dig into the philosophical aspect of it, it's not just words put together that are kind of cute. It's taking a real reality check. If there's any mistakes, missteps, there's any thing that word being done that's not being done, and it's caused us to be lapsed or be weak or be unconscious or not conscious that routine that we need to be in to realize certain things. So those are the things that I want to try to, not all of that, but some of that merged together with what we did last week, which was, you know, it was a lot of fun, and I hope people enjoyed themselves, maybe reminiscing, talking about the so-called good old days. But I hope they didn't miss the point of it all, the message that was there. The fact that we were influenced and still continue to be influenced by music, and the word muse is right there in music. So that means you have to be concerned with how you and what you amuse yourself with. And it was kind of strange that I shouldn't say strange. Allah is working in his many varied ways, and he tells us that these signs are out there. First of all, they're on your human body. but they're also out in the environment. We just have to be alert and aware so that when it happens, we don't miss it. You know, so I just got to talk. We just got to talk about music and lyrics and some of the great titles that some of them had. You know, My Girl and Stay in My Corner and all that and everything. And I was in the BJ's, sort of like Costco, you know, wholesale place, big warehouse, had just about everything under the sun and pretty good price. But anyway, I was just walking along, and I got turning around. They had been remodeling, so I'm walking along. I was kind of a little bit lost. So I said, look, this used to be something else right here. And so I looked over there and saw this car. And I couldn't believe myself when I looked over there. I said, no, it didn't say that. Let me read this card again. I know it didn't say that. So I went over to the card and read it. And sure enough, it did say what I thought it didn't say. And it's an old score and title, you know, music. And anyway, keep you suspense under suspense. It said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Now, some kind of way, all this time, that little scene has stayed alive. And they are marketing it as if that's something sweet to tell your sweetheart. You know, so that she'll be blushing and you know, on top of giving her the little heart sign that's been designed now. You know, really supposed to, you know, back in the day it was a heart sign with an arrow through it, you know, Cupid had shot. So I'm making that connection because things have longevity and they still find their way out into the open society. And under the guise of being a heartfelt feelings that you have and you want to share with your loved one, and you say it that way. And if it were just an innocent statement, it would be okay. But it's very much diluted with rationale that's saying it's all right to be wrong. I can be so in love, so passionate about this person that I can overlook much. Like, she's already married. I'm already married. You know. But this thing called love is bigger than both of us, and it's got us wanting to see each other and do things with each other and, you know, and on and on and on. And I now have the license to do it because I have a framework of why I'm doing it. I'm disowning any kind of this taking control of me in a way that I can't control it. And so I want to tell people that I care about her or I care about him, and I'm expressing it in this way. I'm ignoring the other stuff. Because this is a powerful thing, and I'm disallowing morals, that it's not a moral issue. If you listen to it close enough, it's not suggesting morality. It's suggesting that this is the right thing to do when you're falling in love to this degree, when you met somebody like this here. So I don't want to keep talking about it like I'm endorsing it, but I'm saying that it has such a subtle escape you, and you'll be defending the individual. You know, love doesn't come along that often, and if he's in love or she's in love, and life is so short, and on and on. And next thing you know, you built a case that says it's okay because you just pull evidence from the various things, and you don't get the real evidence. If something is wrong, it's not going to be good, and Allah, God, our Creator, only accepts good. So that's the premise that we should examine it with. If we have a consciousness and an awareness that tells us that we don't want to be wrong, we don't want to do wrong, we don't want to be a home wrecker, wreck someone's home, because in the name of love, or cause a person to have mixed feelings. I'm doing this because I want to experience this thing called, well, and I'm feeling these feelings, and I'm finding it attractive, and I'm following through with my feelings. Doesn't mean that I don't love the other person. Just means that I'm curious and I'm whatever. So all I'm saying, and I'll stop now, is that that rationale can just begin to take over and influence you and blind us to the real reality. The real reality says, here's a test you can take to determine whether you should do a thing or not do a thing. If you can write this thing down or memorize it or whatever and go out and announce what you're doing or getting ready to do to the world or to your friends or to the people you work with, and check their response after you say it. So the test becomes, can you say what you're going to do and it's well received with the audience that you shared it with? If it's not, and they even have one iota of concern morally, or they say, what about this or what about that, or hits them a certain kind of way, then that's telling you that not only the potential is there, but the saying that says, let your conscience be your guide. How can you not go in good conscience when you're getting this kind of report from announcing your intended behavior or your potential or the future behavior or past behavior? You've already done it, and you just want to kind of get some opinions, so you announce it and you'll see. For the most part, if you have a community that has morals and has a sense of right and wrong, they will be finding not acceptable, not advisable. Because once you get started, and you're doing this, and passion is alive in everybody's feelings and things, it won't be so easy to stop. And if we already violated it by doing it, and now it's become habitual, it's become enjoyable, and there we are offset by this. Because passion, when you look at the symbol, that one of the symbols for passion is fire. You have ignited something that was just a little pile of light, and now it's a full-blown fire. And you now find yourself asking for more time, or they're asking for more time to spend together because it's so enjoyable and we really enjoy each other and da da da. And we ignore the marriage situation. And here's the thing that should make us have a little sign of that tells us stop. You'll see the same things in the movies that you see in real life. You'll see people, supposedly in the movie, is about someone who was torn and they end up having an affair, and that affair ends up causing them to lie and hide and deny that this is going on. Trying to hide and deny while they're still trying to keep it up. Because the conscience that we should have has now been reduced, or we're ignoring it in the name of pursuing this newfound love. And like I said before, the song came from, was bad enough. Now they have carried it these many years and put it on a card, and now using it as strong sentiments that you have towards someone. So what am I saying? I'm saying we live in a society that will tell you that it's doing live imitating art or art imitating live. I'm not really sure which one. but they're doing it in the name of what? How does it benefit you to see somebody that's been blinded and they're doing something wrong, and they haven't, they might have started out with a little bit of conscience, it was bothering them a little bit, but as it continued, it took on a life of its own. We got to be, like they said, bigger than both of them. And they didn't even look at anything. They didn't even see the potential harm. They didn't even see that I've been with this other person X amount of years, just met this other person, or maybe it was a friend of the family. And why is it getting expressed that way? Why is it leading to a sexual encounter? How did it get that far ahead and cause that the potential to cause that? Because so many questions that are going to get asked now that wouldn't get asked because you got something on the side of your life that's available in your life already. So the question becomes, well, what appeal did it have? Why were you excited about doing this when you had it right readily there at the house? What was it, you know? So all those questions are going to come up, and they're going to have to be dealt with by you and the individual that you're telling, who has been told that you care about them deeply. So as you can see, it's a web that's developed. And it's just like the web that the spider has. It's very flimsy. Won't hold up under examination. But the entanglements can get you. If you've ever ran into a web or ever had to deal with a web, once you get in it, even if you're tearing it down, even if you're getting ready to sweep it away or do whatever, and you gets on your hand, and next thing you know, this little thin, silky stuff is giving you a hard time getting rid of it. And the bigger the spider, the bigger the web, and the more powerful the web. And you if you really look at the web, you can't tell which way it started. Did it start here and go this way, or did it start here and go that way? So can't you see the comparison? We don't know exactly, this will probably be the answer, we don't know exactly how it happened. All we know is that it happened, and the longer it happened, the longer it got, the more difficult it was to not do it. So if you take that same story as a scenario and apply it to other areas of people's lives, or apply it to your life, so we can go and get a verse from the Quran, or get a verse from just scripture in general. And it should cause us to stop and think before we act. That's the whole premise that I'm making with all that I did there. And declare before others, or do it in a way where that you ask a scenario. Well, what do you think about, you know? Just to see the response before you do it. So it's being thought out, and it's being shared in a way where there's things that you might not see because we've been blinded by the situation. To the point to where we disallow our orientation. It's not just that we pray facing a certain way. That's a part of the ritual. But it's also giving structure to our life. And you just can't do it any old kind of way and say that was a prayer. That you came before your Lord and prayed to your Lord and he received your prayer because you met all of the aspects of it. You weren't just there physically. You were there mind, body, and soul. Who got the benefit? Mind, body, and soul. But if your body was there, but your mind was somewhere else, it might not reach your soul. So what happened? We went through the motions. And what didn't happen? We didn't get the benefit. We didn't come into a state of enlightenment because we made the fulfillment and we measured up to the intent of that's why we came here. So I can continue to stay on a straight and narrow path that doesn't lead measured vertically. It's measured horizontally. And it is said of the originator of this path that you can't see him, but he can see you. We're told that. To scare us? To make us afraid? To make us conscious. You're not getting away because you're in the dark in the booth in the back. You're not getting away because you ask her or ask him, can you keep a secret? And you're not getting away if you rationalize this thing in your mind. Why are you doing it? The circumstances that happen. Telling people, you just don't know. You don't know how it is. Anything that one human being is doing, another human being can do and relate to it. Because it's a human thing. Even if it's wrong. I remember back in the days and when I was out there in the streets and doing this, that, and the other, when there was some good intoxicants came to the city or came to the location, spread like wildfire. The individual who had it, how much it cost to get it, and endorsement. You can't, don't miss this, man. You know, don't miss this, sis. You know, it's once in a lifetime stuff. Can't believe woo woo woo. So that's how the really things get introduced into the world of man. That's very important that we say that and recognize. This is us talking about the world of man that we are in every day, but we should have the consciousness, the God consciousness, to be able to navigate in this world. And I can see now how people got a little bit confused and when they were trying to say La Dunya. No Dunya when you haven't got a grip on the Dunya. But the Dunya is not bad. The Dunya is more than you can handle when you don't have a grip, a consciousness that allows you to control the Dunya and the Dunya not control you. So I think I'm almost sure that's where it came in. But it got out after so many years of hearing it and seeing it that the Dunya is a corrupter. It will send you down the wrong path. No. The money tells you, the Bible says, the love of money. The lust that you have, those seven or eight things that you do, those things are violations and they will cause the problems that they can cause when you violate it, when you succumb into it and when you embrace it and when you express it in the manner, there's consequences. And we stop being an example of what to do under the, when we encounter those circumstances. So that means somewhere down the line, something was lost or something that used to be strong or had the potential to be strong, got weak. And observe what scripture says, God doesn't just hold you responsible, he holds the influences that you came under equally responsible. Because the intent was to get someone in a position where they would disavow one behavior and enter into another behavior in the name of whatever. And right there, standing there in the fray, behind the scenes, is the Satan or the Iblis who's bringing his point. See, look, this is your Khalifa. This is your individual. This mindset, this kind of behavior is going to be harmful or helpful. It's going to be harmful. But be also assured that the Creator is merciful And he wants us to do right and get the benefit, and he has things in place so that that can happen. The system is that, okay, you said came, you didn't regard it, and you didn't treat it like it should be treated, with the harm that it can do. So much harm that you can do that you get blinded to the harm, and you jump off into it. Hook, line, and sinker. What did they say? So rather than describing it that way or trying to excuse yourself, because that's a lot of power. See, when you see it coming, you know how to avoid it. Look at questions, and it will take you and let you see things that will tell you what to do. How am I going to be better doing this? How is my belief system going to get stronger doing this? How am I going to be able to tell others not to do what I'm doing? And that shows us the power of a good question. Because just about the majority of the people, when they get asked those questions under those kind of circumstances, they're going to say, that's a good question. They might not agree with it. They might not have looked at it like that. But when you present it in a way that you want to be prestigious, you want to conduct yourself with integrity, it happens like that. It's like being in a dark room and all of a sudden somebody cuts the light on. Things that were seen now that the light's on weren't seen while we was in the dark. That's why I mentioned the booth in the back in the dark doesn't matter. The minute somebody come back there with light, symbolic light I'm talking about, metaphysical light I'm talking about, that discloses you to take this to the logical conclusion, and it will tell you that no matter how much you try to rationalize what you're getting ready to do or what you've already done, the examination tells you it's not right, it's wrong. And there's not no, test that's multiple choice. I can get it to qualify. Well, you don't know. No. The evidence doesn't allow for that excuse. If you're going to uphold yourself and structure yourself and strengthen yourself to where you can come from ordinary man, ordinary woman, ordinary Muslim, or ordinary Muslima to mukmin. Now, these are words, Arabic words, but they just simply, not simply say, they say that you innately, we are innately good, or are capable of good behavior, or have potential for good behavior, and know the difference between right and wrong, and have a conscience that once we receive guidance on that conscience, we are now in a state of elevation or an enlightenment to where we can see things clearer, and we can exert the kind of strength that we need when the temptation is strong, when the scenario is head say one thing, heart say something else. Heart say one thing, head say something else. And you're torn. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Hearing both sides, and I still got this wrinkle on my forehead. If we go to what the Creator has made available and utilize it, it will address. See, that's two words. Now you take it apart. Add. Make it bigger. Make it more. Dress. It will cover things that you hadn't covered. It will have you inquire about or ask questions that you haven't asked. Excellence, or decide that even though it appeared to be a good idea, it's not such a good idea with the examination that you had. these are the skills that we have to have always, but especially in the times that we're living in now. And they're not that way, not skills because I say they're that way. They're skills that way because they work. And sometimes under the circumstance that you're in, that's what you need. You need something that works. Because if we're not careful and we're around weak people or we're around people who want to get us tempted to show us that, see, you're just an ordinary brother, sister like everybody else. Don't feel bad. Do-do-do-do-do. And they have this get-out-of-jail card that they got available. And they under the influence themselves. They think, or they want to, they've been influenced to believe, well, man, you since you became one of the Muslims, you can't have no fun no more, man. You used to be my main Pete. You know how we did. You know how we rolled. And the same thing for women. We get informed about something that's going on that our so-called friend think we need to be doing and think we need to know about or that we need to be involved in and throw caution to the wind. Let this one time, you only live one time to the scenario come up and let it do what it do. And we find a world that is just full of that now. Where you see taking the word freedom and taking the dome part off, and they say they're free to do anything. I'm intelligent. I'm a certain age. I'm 18. I'm 21. I graduated. I got this. I got that. And you got a society that's promoting that type of thinking that says, you are an adult now. You can behave the way, any way you want. You're grown. Now, just look at that. That's a terrible thing to tell somebody. You don't come 18 years alive. You don't come 21 years, and now you can do all the bad stuff that you couldn't do when this thing started. Not only can you do it, you want to do it. You want to get this experience. You want to find out about this here. Because what? They packaged it so in such a way that it has appeal. Don't they tell you they got, oh, he got sex appeal. Got a six pack, you know, biceps big, on and on and on. So what happens? We get sent down the road of body parts, sexual objectification. And then we can develop a certain justification for why we're doing. She fine, she beautiful. He's handsome. He tall, dark, and handsome. Okay. So, how does that a qualifier to do what comes next? Okay, they tall, dark, and handsome. She's 36, 24, 36. So what? Why is the next step what's been advertised? What's been planted in your mind? I know. Woo, woo, woo. And there we go, down the path, down the lane, and taking others with us. Because the next day people want to know, how did it go? What happened? And if we're not a part of, it's nobody's business, you know? Or if you want to reinforce that you can be with somebody, it's highly suggested that you don't, you know? Unless it's a public situation, because there's another entity there, even though his presence is not seen. The thought pop into your head, or the situation causes your sideways, and then they have, like I said before, settings and movies and all kind of scenarios that say, you know, this is bigger than you, you know. They even have philosophy that allows you just, and I'm not even talking just about sex now. I'm talking about major decisions that we make, that we do. All you got to do is pick up your social media. Pick up what's in the news, what's going on in the world, you know. And you'll see that people are confused. It's one thing to be confused, but it's another thing to be confused and don't know you're confused, you know. You see it in such abundance is going on everywhere, you know, and the effects of it's going on everywhere. They just have a field day with celebrities and celebrity marriages and celebrities, who's going with who now. The big thing, haven't seen it, the football player and Taylor Swift. Why is that important? What makes that newsworthy? This girl, young lady, my inquiring mind just wanted to find out how many individuals. I think she's 29, 30, or whatever, somewhere. But the count, if I count, didn't miscount, 10 individuals from then until now. I don't know if this guy is 11 or what, but. No one lasts longer than 2 years. Then she turns around and makes money off of the music she writes after having been with the individual and kind of halfway sure some of the things that weren't right, didn't go right, or caused the relationship to break up. And she now has a reputation, she's attractive. You know, that's the other thing. People are good and they, you know, they dress well and they speak well and they have money and that's, you know, what you should and could look at. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, you know. But when it becomes a permission slip that you can use it to have control of the situation, I go and come as I please. I determine the relationship, whether it's male or female, and I don't have to apologize to anybody. I got a little name from the cookie jar there, and I put that name with it, Polly whatever or Bi whatever, you know, and that's what I am now. That's what I'm going to do. So you see, the society has language that you can reach and grab, apply to yourself, and just about do anything you want to do. And don't expect anybody to say anything, and don't go to any houses of worship to determine what their book, what our book says about it. Because if it's behavior, well, let's just say human behavior, somewhere is being addressed, or somewhere it's giving you enough answer to say this is the category that I'm looking at. And so right here it says this about that. So that includes everything in that category. So what happens? You can't get away with a little weak rationale or look at the numbers of people doing it. So how can it be that bad? Something this good can't be that bad. Why? Look how powerful COVID was. I'm not saying it was good. I'm saying people were amazed and stuff. I know I was. I never had seen anything take over the whole world and just shut it down and have people doing things that they should have already been doing. But it had us aware that, you know, this is an unseen entity, very powerful, life threatening thing, and here's a thing that you can wear and do so that it may not happen to you. But if it does, you know, we're working on this and that and that. Once we get that, we feel a little comfortable that we can say that you're safe or whatever. And the thing, just briefly on that so much like what we've been talking about, you didn't get correct and positive information. You got things that would increase the fear factor. You got things that would talk about the death toll versus the people who got gotten well. and why those people were more candidates for dying. If your immune system has been compromised or is not very healthy, it can take over parts of your body, lungs or whatever, and you will reach a demise. And you didn't look that way. You looked healthy. And it's the same thing, like I said before, when you parallel that same thought, you were married, you looked happy, woo, 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 until, ooh, you encountered this force that you didn't have the, you know, resistance to not see what would happen if, you know, you got curious about this and curious about that. And next thing you know, curiosity. You know, they say killed the cat and satisfaction brought him back. You know, there's the philosophy I was talking about. You can get the hookup now and allow yourself to just about to do anything you want to do and justify it. And you can have an audience that says yes. They're actually telling people should be no body shaming. If you X amount of pounds or you overweight or whatever, don't feel, just go on out there like everybody else and get your whatever. Obesity and overweightness has always been a problem. It cannot be glamorized. It cannot be saying, you know, you should be able to do like everybody else. You will. But you have to address a certain issue there. You, for your height, for the do, you are overweight. Eventually, overweight will do what overweight does. Should people be teasing you? No. But should you use the teasing to throw your good sense out the window? No to that, too. Hear what the part that needs to be done and do that. Ignore the part that has nothing to do with what other people, you know, have a right in your life to say or do. But don't disallow wisdom or good sense or good advice in the name of I'm free to do what I want to do. That's devilish advice. And people are buying it like it's hook, line, and sinker, like it's the latest thing. And it is. I've seen so much in my small little amount of town that I've been here that I never thought, I was like, whoa. And they got, like I said before, they got labels and names, and they give them to people. And next thing you know, you got a little community of people who do A, B, C, or D, or X, Y, Z. And they build up a little force because unlike us as a people, the unity is in their community. And they have a common cause called they out to get us, or we got this good thing and it's going to help us do this, and all we got to do is feed the kitty to make it work, because we're in America. Money talks. You could go in there and get, you know, like the 9/11 group. They went in there and got tickets because they had the money. They got ability to fly airplanes because they could get the paper, go to the paper mill and get it, pay for it, and just like you went to school and you're a legitimate pilot now. And the eyes that examined it after it happened, they said, these people knew our country in a way it was better than we knew theirs. So now they got infiltration with people who can speak Arabic and do-do-do-do-do-boo-boo-boo. That was the door opener in the showing people how to infiltrate groups that were all hardcore. I'm stopping here because I want you to really hear these strategies that people are giving us or are utilizing. They are a violation. We saw the Hadiva, I think it was Omar, wanted to report behavior that wasn't acceptable Islamic behavior, crawled over the man's fence, was all up in the business, telling him he wasn't supposed to do that, woo-woo, And the man simply told him, look, you're in violation greater than I am. You can't come over my fence into my house and tell me that's un-Islamic. It's un-Islamic for you to go over my fence and get in my face and tell me what I'm doing, how I'm going to go to hell. That's not how we convert people over, calling them out and telling them what's wrong and they're going to hell. That's not a conversion way to do. We don't do that. We right the world by putting some right in the world and some light in the world, and we'll see the world enlightened, moving away from one thing into another thing, enjoying the light, you know, sharing the light, and benefiting so much from the light that we make it a daily habit. And people can begin to see the leadership, the moral leadership and the human leadership that you're sharing with them, and it will become very attractive. Because once we become conscious and awake to what we need to do to really be Muslim or just believers or be good Christians or be good Jews, then we realize that the other way that we were involved in was way weaker, way less powerful. Come to you, 314. And why not use that? Because you got something that leverages the big stuff. You as an individual, you're just a messenger. They can reject you. They can say, you know, you didn't have this, or you ain't got these credentials. You don't. Did you go to L? Did you go to get to theological school? They can do that. But when we develop a community with different people who specialize in these specialized needs that we have, we become a well-balanced community that addresses the needs and we're self-contained. We're not looking for people to help us. We're looking to help other people. That's one of the empowerments of being self-contained allows. You go to Utah and you see what they're doing there. You go and see the Amish, Mormons, Jewish. You see that's one of the features that makes them attractive. Because it attracts other people. What we're not seeing, try to convert to Judaism and Mormons or Amish, take that and apply it to your situation to make it better. And that's how we spread the religion. We're not telling you have to become a Muslim. You can if you want, and there's many, many benefits. But to be a better human being, to be a better mother, a better father, a better child, a better worker, a better whatever the situation calls for, you're better because you haven't been enlightened and you're aware of the benefits that come in from being better. Okay, I guess, let's see. There. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your very astute radio listening audience, Mark Shaheen from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show-Me State of Missouri. As always, like to say, Alhamdulillah, and that just simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God, first and foremost, always. You know, as I listen in to your communication, conversation, information that you're disseminating, you know, one of the thoughts that came to my mind is the freedom to be responsible. You know, the human being is a unique creation, and that out of all the creation, he has been selected by the Creator to be given freedom and free will. And you made a statement in terms of freedom earlier in your presentation. And that's the freedom to think, to think about what you or thinking about, if you will, and to be able to make decisions and the free will to be able to choose what you're willing to do or you're not willing to do. But it needs and requires some guidance in terms of having those two unique gifts, in terms of freely think for yourself, but also the free will to choose. It's a limited free will, but nevertheless, it is a free will that you can't find in the natural creation, where everything in the creation is expressing the will of the creator that created it. And I think that, you know, Pashan, this is where is the big problem or big challenge that we see in the human society today all over the world. You see, when there is no morality in the society and having these two great freedoms, but the freedom to be responsible and no morality that's there, we see that what can actually happen to people individually, we see what can happen to families, we see what can happen to communities, cities, states, as in the United States, countries, international communities, and all. And we're seeing the realization of what devastation can actually come about without being responsible. You know, as a wordologist, you know, you look at those words like responsibility. So it's two words, it's respond and an ability. We can look at it two ways. Responsibility is to be able to respond with ability, or the ability to, if you look at it the other way, the ability to respond rightly. This was something that was unique, that was given to the human being, to be able to have the position of being responsible. But morality is, and it always has been, a part of that in terms of the human makeup. To do that which is right, the inclination to do what is actually right. I mean, it's actually innate. But then what does happen and have happened is that the human being has been influenced in a way of accepting a misconception, a misperception of what true freedom is, or what true freedom is. You know, so I would say that, you know, I could stop there, but I think that when we look at effects, then there's always a cause. And just like last week, you know, in terms of looking at the word influence, those letters, I think it's nine letters, it never fails, lurking under each new circumstance emergent. And those circumstances can be positive or negative in the society. I'll stop there. I'm going to give my, you know, 2 cent worth in regards to that. But I think when we look at that really close and in-depth, we'll see a whole lot that if the human being will utilize what's been given to them with guidance in that freedom and free will and how it's discharged, and never lose the morality that should be guiding and governing that freedom and free will, then this world will be a lot better. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Walaykum as-salam. Okay, we have another person, 773. So we're going to bring them in and see conversation.
You got me unmuted.
Okay. Yeah.
Unmute.
Yeah. Okay, 773.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum. Your man Pasha. This was Samir. I haven't been on for a while, but I'm glad to be back on. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Brothers like you that have the courage to address issues of concern. But sometimes some people are afraid to thread the waters because of the intenseness of a subject.
Mm-hmm.
But like the way you thoroughly covered that. And sometimes we fall down. It's something our brother Les says, if you fall down, try to land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up.
Right.
And sometimes we stray away. But if sometimes it takes another person to bring the light of understanding to our consciousness, and we know better, we should be striving to do better. And we ask Allah for forgiveness, and we repent. And don't take, if he forgive us in our repentance, to say, oh, he forgave me, you know, he'll do it again. No, we become conscientious of our behavior and our actions with regard to where we was influenced from it from. We take a stand, because if we don't stand for something, we'll fall, we'll continue to fall for anything. So I just
That's
want to
right.
say I appreciate you, brother. And we all here, well, we should all be here to learn, grow, and evolve. And ask Allah to be our best guiding light. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you. You know, we talk and share, and that's good. But I am convinced, you know, just a little bit of this is really powerful. And to hear the two comments and their observations, and you know, just at the little time that we've been spending together, and we can say authentically, just like Brother Mark said, and the sister just hinted or inferred to, is that this is not something that you hear every day, and it's not something that's just radical. You know, it really suggests to people who are listening in the world that is in the predicament it's in, hey, this don't have to be this way. There's a couple statements that I want to not make sure I don't leave without saying them, but we talked about last week going back in time and listening to the music and doing different things. But at that same timeline, I can honestly say that I'm a different man. I have different appetites, you know, and I can back up what I say. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, it's miraculous things have happened in my life as a result of me just trying to stay awake and stay aware and stay studious as a student to understand what is this thing called El Islam? What's the big to-do? Because when I first heard it, and I was telling in the class that I'm in, I didn't become a part of the Nation of Islam for God. I heard the Quran, El Fatiha, opening seven verses, and I laughed. I said, "What was that? What gibberish?" You know, I thought it was some kind of foreign language. I said, "Man, it wasn't for me." And I don't know what they said. You know, it didn't sound that good either. You know, it wasn't like it was. You know, so it didn't have any appeal to me at all. The only thing that had appeal to me was they told me the white man was the devil. And that we, as black people, should start doing something for ourselves. So my interest was to try to punish the white man, or get the white man punished, or better understand the white man, and try to make me some money. And I grew to understand with the leadership of Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad, Rahim Alay, that this wasn't just go to a building and get taught, and then come out of that building and have the ability to deal with this world, or you had these rituals that a lot of people have, and they just surface superficial rituals. And when you meet someone, or you meet a situation where the power of Satan is greater than your little ritual, you're gonna lose every time. And I saw people there; they start out real good, and they got real big enthusiasm and they ready to rock and roll. But they meet reality, they get a test, and next thing you know, they making excuses why they don't come, or when they do come, they only come once a year, and that'd be maybe on Ramadan or one of the Eids. You can't let this world reduce us down to once a year Muslims. I call them, Ramadan Muslims or Eid al-Adha Muslims. You know, got your best dress on, donating money, saying your prayers and glowing like new penny work, and then go back to doing what you was doing. If you're going to wake up and stay up and wait for the difference to happen. You know, they had this little movement. I don't know. I'm not going to laugh at it, but I'm just saying woke. Now, on its own and not knowing the background, it sounds powerful because everybody needs to be awake. But it's not something that you can declare for yourself. I stayed and still continue to be a student of Imam Wafidin Muhammad Rahim Malari. So I'm not only just a student and a follower, and I'm not trumping him and saying he brought us what the Quran has to say and the life example of Prophet Muhammad has to say after having become a messenger and a prophet for God to bring this message to the world and let the miracle that it has the ability to do happen in the world that's been in the dark. When you can say that and say it happens wherever it goes, survival of that. I'm a person who was victimized by that, and then I am free of that victimization. And when you get free of a victimization, you become a victor. You have victory, and you have a story to tell. Hopefully that people will hear and believe and understand that I had no hope of doing anything against these forces that had come against me and had me didn't know whether I was coming or going. I never was a heavy alcohol drinker or a heavy drug user. But every now and then in a social setting and trying to be, social and whatever, I would do that. But I did it mainly because of the feeling I had would go lessen after I got, some of that substance in my system. And same thing with the music. Came out with this song called Natural High. Beautiful song. And it made me start thinking, okay, so let me look at and compare the high I've been getting. It's not natural. And a natural high. Now, I have been walking around not using alcohol and drugs. That's one thing. But the natural high of being alive and have some purpose in your life. I remember when Imam Muhammad said that if you really start practicing this religion properly and consistently, he said, even your food would taste better. And sure enough, one day, I'm having some bean soup and some whitey, H&G, tremendous batter this brother put on it and made it, where it was a little bit of crispiness on the outside, but good and moist on the inside. I haven't had one like it since then. He went on to other things after a while. But that was one of the high points in my life because I hearing this man talking and his predictions were true. My food began to taste better. I began to enjoy. And I began to have a little glow that I hadn't had before. And I can bear witness to what I'm getting ready to read. Frederick Douglass said, and I carry it every now and then so I can read it myself because it's the calling card, it's the mantra that lets you know the extent of the miracle. And he says, you have seen how a man was made a slave. You shall now see how a slave was made a man. Reverse engineering, reverse the process on the class that we were talking about. It came up and it went away almost as quickly as it came up. But we need to look at what was said in the class and share it with people in a way that just like I just shared that, you have seen how a man was made a slave. You should now see how a slave was made a man. Now it becomes possible for this to happen. Now it becomes possible for us to present this person and tell them, once you stop letting it be just a ritual and you let it be what you do in your life on a daily basis to bring yourself into life and into a life and have a life and have an awareness and have a consciousness, a God consciousness, taqwa, to be able to deal with the concerns, just like you see Hamas and Israel. Some people are going to take Hamas' side. Some people are going to take Israel's side. I'm going to be on the side of truth. Two wrongs don't make a right. Hamas, you cannot attack a country and tell them and the world that you're doing it because of XYZ. Israel, after having been attacked, you cannot tell the world and Hamas you're going out to destroy them so that they will never do anything like this again to anybody else. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And you do inhumane things to people and living right next door to them, have them go through your little security post every day just to get jobs and security for their family, and don't think anybody going to get enough gumption to attack the mighty forces of Israel and issue a little bit of pain. It's not rational to do that, but it's not rational for you to do what you're doing either. It would produce, you know, just like they said about the Nation of Islam and Walter Cronkite and the other guy. He said the hate that hate produced. It didn't come into this on its own. It had something was done. They had green books and people making accusations that they were raped and all that, and tall, lanky guy and everything, woo-woo-woo. And all kind of double standards and divide and conquer tactics that went on, continue to go on, to where you take an individual and not just make him a slave so he can be domesticated and do the work and menial and be docile, as they said, but to where he would actually hate himself, hate his features, hate his hair, so he gave special attention to his features and his hair, went out and bought black and white and Ambi and all that skin lightener that was going on and still going on, you know, processed hair and all that stuff that we did and continue to do. Imam Muhammad made this statement about it, and I paraphrase to a great deal of it, but you get the general gist. He said it's mission impossible for us to walk around as black men and women and try to survive and progress in a white man's world. So at first I heard that, I was like, wait a minute. We're progressing, we're doing this. You're getting material progress, creature comforts. You drive a better car. You have a better job. You maybe own your own business. You got the house, dream house, and all that and everything. We don't have our lives back. We don't have our identity straightened out and addressed. We got a lot of misgivings about somebody owing us reparations and all that. We got a lot of work because we built and demonized white people so much, we gave ourselves permission to do anything and treat them and pay back them for what they did to us. You cannot build an ummah or build the ummah and be the khalifa when you got those kind of internal thoughts. It's not a thought that is going to build something up. It's going to tear something down like it's done. You know, in the 60s and 70s, we used to say that chant, burn, baby, burn. That's not the sentiments that's going to get God on our side and keep him on our side. He wants us to show the world that the world did this to us, a group of people did this to us. And the minute that they started doing it, God started unraveling the thing, and look at us now. Look at the statement I just read. This is a true statement now. Because so many leaders after leaders after leaders after leaders came to give us no excuse for breaking the yoke of slavery. You got multiple choices to choose to say which one of these men or women that came is going to be your mentor and your role model to get you out of this mess and help you take other people out of this mess. You don't have to just be a Muslim. There's all kind of movements that came. And we can honestly say, I don't know any other group of people who had that many players. You know, the Cubans, they had Castro. The Chinese, they had Mao Zedong. And on and on and on and on. But you see, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Mawafdi Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, you know, Sojourner Truth, Ida B. Wells, on and on and on. Every venue of life was covered by some leader that had this to say, from Marcus Garvey to Father Divine. They had no excuse. Like I said, and there was women. There was women in there that came and fought hard and died with a contribution, either a school or something that they left. And instead of picking one of those venues, we pick up a gun or pick up a liquor bottle or pick up a joint, it's not going to be the same. Once you pick up the book, gives you the truth about worldly affairs and situations that have happened to others, you see that we don't have no excuse. I let go of that hatred that I had a long time ago. It was a setback. She just mentioned about a get up after you fall on your back first so you can get up. But don't be set back by hatred or retribution. He needs to feel what I felt. He needs to go through what I went through. He needs to pay through the nose. No. We need to let go of that kind of thinking and get on with our life and produce more Wall Streets, Black Wall Streets, and more self-sufficient and self-sustaining communities. We did it without the knowledge. We should be able to double it, do it with the knowledge. That threat in Oklahoma was so powerful, they right away, we got to get this done. None of these things, they can wake up and be as powerful or more powerful than we are. Only difference is they're going to be doing the right thing versus what we were doing was the wrong thing. So they killed it, and it's just now coming back. Hopefully it has enough, I forget what it is, but it's a part of a car, and it's, when it gets a certain revolution, the car is able to, you know, go above and beyond what it's supposed to, and attain, maintain, and sustain that capability. I forget what the term is. It's a mechanical term. Amazon doing it. They did it when they bought the Whole Foods, and they're doing it with other. They have other things under the umbrella. But if it doesn't make X amount of dollars in X amount of time, they disband it and set it back or let it go or whatever. That's the way you measure and also gauge progress that you're making. If it seems to be more harder than it should be, then it's probably not as good an idea as you think it is. Because the more you do what is needed to be done, the more you're able to do. If it's a struggle all here in Houston, no, it hasn't become an orderly, peaceful thing, and you just see it do what it do and make the progress. And then you now can have like the St. Jude's Hospital that's funded by people who believe in having a place where if you get sick, you can go and take your child or yourself and live under their roof, under their expertise to get you well. Danny Thomas, may he be forgiven his sins and received paradise, had a phenomenal idea, and it's going strong still. The March of Dimes was the same way. It had a belief, and it I think it's still out there. But if it wasn't, it still was primary to get schools and get people involved. But I used to have my March of Dimes thing for every year when it came time to get the March of Dimes thing. That was what I did. And it was fun. It was exciting. And I was contributing. And I'll never forget it. Because it feels good to help somebody else who's less fortunate than you are. That's our nature. To do it and then get the reward of doing it, but also get the joy of doing it. It's hard to even compete with the joy you get when you help somebody else who's less fortunate than yourself. And sometimes we just get so selfish, we just do stuff because we can. We buy stuff because we can. All those hats and dresses and pants and caps and koofies and on and on and on. And we can't say that we are a better Muslim for all the wardrobe that we have. Because it doesn't do that. It can't do that. Someone come to you, 314, and see if you got your hand still up. But, this is talk that comes from growth, my PDG, personal development and growth. And I take what Imam Muhammad said at one of the meetings he came and said, I don't know what you came here to hear, but I know what I came here to say. We're not going to turn this thing around and save ourselves and bring about the community that we say we actually solicited to do. The invite is that you become Khalifa and build the model communities, build the Ummah, so you can help others who can't help themselves and be a light and have a consciousness, a regard, a sacred regard to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, the golden rule type of thinking that even goes another step with the Quran. You want for your brother what you want for yourself. And you don't feel good at night going to bed knowing that he doesn't have access and adequate stuff in their life to make their life a peaceful, orderly, well-balanced life. That goal should be our goal in whatever we do. If that's not the goal, then what are we doing? Look at me. Look how far I've come. Look how great I am. I don't think that's going to help anything. If anything, it's going to hurt because it means we haven't healed. We're still hurting. I don't hate what they did. Because they did it because they were lied to. We were in the situation that we were put in because we were lied about. They felt no remorse in doing what they did because they believed they had some evidence and documentation to say that we were less than human, three-fifths of a human. We were destined because of the Cain and Abel story. Laughing at the father, they were supposed to be an alcohol, you know. So that's carried itself this far, and it's still a conduit that justifies people doing what they're doing. But it doesn't matter. Read this again. You have seen how a man was made a slave. Now you can see how a slave was made a man. That's what Imam Muhammad said. Words make people. Man means mind. The freedom to hear that and embrace it, take your mind and do what men and women do. Okay? Those places where they're hearing it and they're abiding by it and they're getting results from community-oriented situation of Philadelphia, Detroit, Houston, and on and on and on. If we do what we're supposed to do, then the next time we come on, we'll be talking about what we're doing. We'll be adding another one to the list. But it takes more than just solicitation, more than, like Imam Rahman was saying, it takes more than having the real estate. The greatest piece of is the space between our two ears. That's the most valuable thing. God said it, I didn't. But we also must have a heart and a soul that is ready to stand up and serve humanity, even though not because of, I mean, not in spite of, but because of what happened to us, that we were excluded, and now we can include. I say it again, as I bring my part of the program to a close, there's nothing that feels greater than when you and I step forward, especially after we've been downtrodden, and help someone else so that they won't experience that, let alone to the degree that we did. That's definitely a definite no, don't want that to happen. But to get in a position to where you are a slave, you know, and taking slave wages and not having the ability to have self-esteem to say, I deserve better than this, not to them, to yourself. I deserve better than this. This is part of the last day that I'm going to put myself and my family through this. I'm going to put myself back in this educational setting so I can get the latest and the greatest and put some prosperity and productivity in my house with my family. And why should Allah help you do that? Because you're promoting and you're bringing evidence to the forefront to people seeing how we overcame. We stopped singing the song and started playing a different tune. Once you overcome, get your life back and get yourself in touch with the reality that you need to build Ummah, to build yourself first and then help others to build themselves, game over. That's the victory that we should be looking for. When we start attaining that, you know, we can reminisce what Imam Muhammad said. It's not on us now. They can't stop us now. That's the song that I found very inspirational. But to come back behind that and change just a few words on there and reposition them was really powerful and significant. I see you, 773. And it should be a song that's beating in our hearts and minds every day because time is ticking. We don't have the time that we had before because it was time back then for us to be doing what we should be doing now, and I already had it done. We should have had it in place. But we let other things get in the way. So we got to get those things out of the way and get busy doing what we're doing. And then it'll do what it do. Okay, let's go back here because we want to close out here.
Hassan Lakin, this is Amir again. I just want to say amen. That's it. Hassan Lakin. Everything concerned with everything he said. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen.
All right, I'm going to see if I can get your husband back on here and entice him to tell us a little bit more about this thing here we got here going. Blog Talk Radio. So, yeah. Let me get him off and bring him back. So if he's available, I'd like to hear him tell us a little bit about the programs and things that are coming on and a little bit about what's happening with us as a community here at Imam with WD Muhammad Blog Talk Radio. So I'll see if I can get Brother Mark on to do that. Assalamualaikum.
Alaykum assalam, Imam Nazim Pasha, alhamdulillah.
Are you indisposed or can you?
No, good. No, I know you have to be thinking in regards to that, but I want to just say alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. And, you know, I just want to make a brief comment, you know, in terms of the Quran, always thinking with the Quran, Allah says in Surah 53:39 of the Quran, that the human being can only get what they consciously strive for. And the next ayah says, and soon it would be made manifest. So this is very, very important. We have to ask ourselves the question, what are we consciously striving for? And it also infers that there is a goal, or goals, plural, that we have in life. Individual goal, family goals, community goals. What are we consciously striving for? And above all, we should always be striving to please Allah, to please God.
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's very, very important. And then Allah tells us, and soon it would be made manifest. You know, it's one thing to say that we believe in Allah, but do we believe Allah? You see, because then if you believe Allah, then that brings revelation, that brings information, correct information, that brings education, that brings stimulation, it brings cultivation, it brings activation, it brings also a realization and a manifestation in terms of what it is that we really, really want in our lives. And it's needed and necessary for the progression of the human being. I'm hoping that we can understand that. That's why the dua, and I'll recite that dua after I finish giving the information in terms of here on IWDM Radio. The beat goes on here tomorrow, which is Tuesday. The production, The Science of Your Health and You, is hosted by Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. That's each and every Tuesday. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam. So please tune in for that. It's a learning lab. You need to bring your pens and pad. A lot of great information, education on the science of your health and you. You as a human being, biologically and also mentally and also socially and also spiritually, there is a science that comes along with that. So this is the production you want to listen to. Wednesday is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed Dr. Patricia Slaudine out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, which we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic perspective, and how to reconstruct a destructive family life. You know, everybody should want to tune in, even though you might say, well, I raised my children, but you never stop being a parent. You then become a grandparent or a great-grandparent, or you might become a foster parent. So you want to tune in to that production, and that starts each and every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Following the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab on Wednesday night is the MGM Roundtable. That stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. That's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, where I always like to bring and present to our listeners very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Also, I have guests outside the community, and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that's each and every Wednesday evening, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And let me say that this Wednesday, inshallah, we'll have a special guest on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Sister Zakia Fakan out of Kansas City. It will be a special guest, who agreed to be a special guest. She taught as an educator for many years, and also in the Sister Clara Muhammad School. So you definitely want to tune in and get her insight and wisdom on the topic that we'll have. Thursday is the Sister Learning Lab. That's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, where we teach the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy and a harmonious marriage. And we look to have a special surprise. I won't divulge that at this point, but you have to tune in and listen in. That happens each and every Thursday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, and we'll still be on the true love recipe. So please tune in for that. Friday is Salatu Juma Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized, can't get out and about, they can come back to IWDM Radio with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. It happens each and every Friday afternoon, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central, and it's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Saturday is now filled, and it's filled with the production, The Muslim Book Club. So if you haven't tuned in on that new production, you should tune in. And that's hosted by Imam Mikhail Sayer. Although he won't be able to be there this Saturday, he'll be at the conference, the leadership conference that will be hosted there in Orlando, Florida. But don't fear, our good sister, beloved sister Sultana Ali will be sitting in, and the book that is being read and commentary is being made on is our honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the nation's mother. You want to listen in, because there's a lot of things that we just don't know about Sister Clara Muhammad. So there will be a reading and there will be commentary afterwards. That happens each and every Saturday now, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Sunday is the longest running production, once again, with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer, Words Make People. Sounds familiar. Well, that's each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it live each and every Monday with our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha, ABC. And that stands for Al-Islam-Based Conversation. There's many conversations that we can have, but are they Al-Islam-based conversation? A variety of conversations. Should tune in each and every Monday and be a part of these conversations, communication, share the information. It's for the elevation and the elevation of us as a community. And that happens each and every Monday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Monday with the Imam Nazim Pasha. And we also support the Muslim Journal that's been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. We ask that you keep your subscription, and if you have the wherewithal, think about a family member, a friend, a colleague, or maybe a neighbor, or maybe a pioneer in your community, or possibly your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful that will be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. And so please make sure that you get registered. Don't wait. Don't deliberate. Don't hesitate, and most certainly don't procrastinate and just thinking you can do it at the last minute. Everything has a capacity. You don't want it to reach a capacity where you'd be in the overflow somewhere there. So with that being said, as always, this salam is for you and yours, and may God's peace be with you. And before I give you the greetings of peace, as I promised, I would give one of the most favorite du'as of Imam Muhammad that he gave. It always stuck with me. I said, I'm not going to write it down because I'm not able to read, but I'm committed to memory. And Imam Muhammad, he said, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, O Allah, I cannot manage this life of mine, not by myself, not on my own, not without you. So please, Allah, make my life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. And, O Allah, do not allow me to act on my own, but help me to act in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. I mean. Back to you, Nazim Pasha. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Waalaikum assalam, preacher. Thank you very much. We're going to conclude here. We said about all we can say, and I think we tried to be not too broad of a conversation, but we tried to touch a couple of bases to wake up that part of yourself that needs to be awakened and act like, you know, we're going to live 1,000 years, but we're going to die tomorrow, you know. So I think that type of mentality will get us and get some work done and get us to working on these future generations, because they are the future. Without them, we don't have a future. And if it is, it will be a delayed future. So we want to let them know that we are serious about this, that we really take charge of certain things that we maybe haven't done so much in the past, and that Allah has given us much, and we need to reflect it. We need to make it known. So I pray a lot that we don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk, and that we'll join hands and join minds and join hearts to see this place a better place than it has been. And got people working on specialized sections of it, and I think that's the way it's going to get done. You take the part that interests you, and come together with other people who have that take the part that interests them. Then you know we develop the intellect to have people be able to say, and rightfully so, that they are part of the solution and not the problem. So, assalamu alaikum. We thank you. We appreciate you, and we welcome you back again next Monday. And between now and then, let's see how much we can do to get done. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.